From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
And now, how a cleaning lady or a nanny can save your marriage. I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. We're not talking about the kind of nanny who sings, dances, or sweeps chimneys and imparts life lessons, though the magical kind is always good. We're talking about someone to share the chores. Neil Chathick is the author of Voicemail, What Husbands Really Think About Their Marriages. He argues that, say, a cleaning lady could be more effective than a therapist at a fraction of the price. Let's talk about what's rarely mentioned in proper society, housework. Chathick surveyed hundreds of men to find out what they thought about marriage. And the great cleaning lady revelation, just one of the surprising results. Hello, how are you, Neil?
I'm doing well, Mike. Happy holidays.
Yes, you too. So housework plays a big role, a disproportionate role, bigger than the outsider could possibly imagine in the happiness of marriages?
It does play a major role. In fact, if you, and again, as you pointed out, I did a research on men and asked men the question, among many other questions, but asked them the question about housework. Turns out that when their wives were happy with the division of housework, their own relationships, the whole relationship, did a much better. Their sex lives, their feeling toward each other, the not going into therapy. There's a lot of different things that stem from a good division of housework.
Now, when you say a good division, does that mean an equal division, or how do they define equal?
It doesn't have to mean equal. You know, I asked men, would you be happy or are you happy with the division of housework in your family? I asked men if their wives were happy. Men acknowledged that they were likelier to be happy and that their wives were likelier to be unhappy. And when they were able to get their wives, make their wives happy with the housework by doing a portion of it, or as you point out, hiring somebody to come and clean it, then everything in the relationship tended to improve.
Here is, I was fascinated by what you were finding, and it reminded me of a study I read about a little bit ago by two University of Virginia researchers. Don't know if you're familiar with a study called What's Love Got to Do with It? Equality, Equity, Commitment, and Women's Marital Quality. Have you read that one?
I have. I don't remember all the details, but...
Well, I was going to ask you about page 42 off the top.
Okay,
no.
Great.
But here's one of the findings. From the 60s through the 80s, wives cut back on housework as husbands did more. In the 90s, though, the trend leveled off, leaving wives still doing nearly twice as much of the work at home. So even in happy marriages, women are usually doing more?
Yes, they are. And I think overall what I hear is that women are okay with doing more. Partly it's because women have been trained earlier and therefore are sort of pick up on a house being dirty or unkempt in some way. But over time, as it got into as it got into the relationship, if the man was willing to do a fair share or at least a certain share of it, then the women were okay with that. It's when the man thinks that he doesn't have any responsibility toward it, or when he doesn't ever think about it and think, you know, I'd really like to do something that would make her happy, that she would appreciate. That's, I think, what really works in the relationship, is the woman feels appreciated, and of course she's less tired if she doesn't have to do all the work after coming home from a day at the office or on the job somewhere.
And what John Tierney pointed out about that interesting survey about housework and that women are doing twice as much, he says it does seem unfair until you look at how men and women live by themselves. The women do twice as much housework as the men do single. Single men do less cooking, less cleaning. So even if they're doing twice as much in marriage, that's probably their natural or, let's say, societal propensities. So I guess the point is that just pick up one extra pair of socks, guys.
I think that would be a really good idea. In fact, if you could do one thing for your relationship over the course of the next year and you're a man, it would be to, say, ask your wife, what it is that she hates to do the most and do that. It may not take as much time as all the other things that she's doing, but a lot of times women don't mind doing certain things, but say the laundry or the vacuuming or the bathrooms, or there's just one thing that really sticks in her craw. And if you as a man are able to say, you know, I'd be glad to take that off your hands, it would just make an enormous difference.
Yeah, but if the man tries that in reverse, then the woman might take away his snow-blowing responsibilities or the ride-along tractor, which I think is a lot of fun for most
men. Yeah, you know,
men.
you should keep those things. You know, some of those studies that measure housework, you want to keep those things. There is housework that's outside the home. There's also work. That is, some men will spend 50 or 60 hours on a job where a woman might spend 40 hours. So he'll, you know, those things have to be balanced into the entire. You know, housework is really what we do to make a house work. That is what we do to make the whole household function well. So sometimes we have to look at exactly what people are measuring when they measure housework.
A call out to listeners who know the secret to a happy marriage as it relates to housework or really anything else, maybe something like listening to your partner or being emotional. These are all things that were looked into by our guest who is... it's Chethik, is that right? But
it's
Neil Chethik, and it's spelled C-H-E-T-H-I-K if you're looking for his book, which is called Voicemail, What Husbands Really Think About Their Marriages, Their Wives, Sex, Housework, and Commitment. Our number is 212-433-9692. What other surprising findings did you come across?
You know, I think one of the most surprising was just how much men like being married. We have this idea that men are, like, commitment phobic or they don't like to be in... you know, tied down. But really what I found was that men are slower to commit than women are. But once they do, they stay very committed, and they are much less likely to want to get out of a marriage. So sometimes we think of slow to commit or careful about commitment as commitment phobic. But actually, most of the men I talked to said they want to be married. And in fact, 90% of those in my survey, and this was a survey of married men, said they would marry the same woman again if they had a chance. So, you know, again, the idea that men are standoffish or hermit-like, none of that is really true. Men did tell me that they like to be quieter. They don't necessarily want to talk about how things are going in the relationship. They like to share space as much as they like to share feeling.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if you've had this
oxygen. As long as we're breathing the same air, we don't need to be talking about our feelings.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of men would love, just love to be in the same space with another person and have that person you can, you know, it's like when men are playing sports. We grow up playing a lot of sports. We don't necessarily talk to each other so much in the sports, but we interact with each other still. We communicate with each other. If you're on a basketball court, you're passing the ball to where they're going to be later so they don't have to talk about it. So I think some of that transfers over into marriages, that we are interested in being connected with another person, but the depth of conversation doesn't have to be the same, or at least maybe the amount of conversation doesn't have to be the same.
Yeah, a good husband is like a good point guard. He knows where his partner's going to be before he's even going to be there.
Exactly.
Our number again is 212-433-9692. I am Mike Pesca, filling in for Brian Lehrer, talking to the author of Voicemail, What Husbands Really Think About Their Marriages, Their Wives, Sex, Housework. Neil Chethik is the guest here. And let's go ahead.
I was going to mention one other thing about talking. The other thing about talking with men, and I asked men, you know, when do you feel most comfortable talking with your wives? And they said the hard conversations were the ones you have sort of sitting at the table face-to-face or sitting on the couch face-to-face or something doing face-to-face.
Uh-huh.
Men are better, again, you can bring sports analogies in here a little bit, but men are better side-by-side. So I found that men said they were more comfortable talking with their wives when they were, say, driving in a car, and they're side by side, not necessarily looking deeply into each other's eyes.
Right.
Or when they're doing something in the backyard. So one of them is, you know, raking the leaves and another one is, you know, clipping the bushes. Then there's like a doing going on that allows for a passing in and out of talking.
Right. So, you know, like even if this conversation goes nowhere, at least the hedges will be clipped by the
exactly
time.
Exactly.
At least we'll get to Nutley, New Jersey by the time we're all done.
Productivity is always an important thing. So, like, even if we don't produce a an agreement, we've at least caught up with the landscaping.
I know for me, I am, you know, your typical on the outside unfeeling cad. But, you know, I will talk about emotions. I just don't like the talk about the talk. Let's talk. Can we just talk without saying let's talk?
And, you know, men will also talk if there's a conversation that moves. You know, I think women come in often very directly, and they hit you at first with the feeling level.
Right.
And men, again, are a little bit like matadors in this one, where we let it go by because the feelings that hit us intensely are a little hard for us, and I think that's because of the way we're raised. So, you know, we've got men now who are deflecting a lot of the feeling level. I found, though, when I sat down with men to have long conversations with them about their relationships, if I asked them, tell me what happened the first time, or what did she do, or what did you say, or how did it go, it's different than saying, what did you feel? And I think when I've talked to women about this, some will then try that on their male partners, and they'll find that, yeah, you know, if you ask them to just tell you the story of what happened, for example, it'll bring the feeling level up, but it's not the first thing he has to go to where he may be defensive. So again, it's speaking men's language of doing and thinking and acting as opposed to feeling.
Yeah. Brian from New Jersey, have any tips or secrets for us?
Oh, hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hi, Brian.
I've been the same woman almost 16 years, married just about. For me, it's more a matter of partially how you're raised, but I have three little boys, and I can see at a very young age the way they communicate is different than the way girls communicate, almost from birth.
Yeah.
They play very differently than girls play. And I also read recently women talk an average of, like, I must be 40% more than men.
Yeah, more words.
Women talk for the sake of talking, whereas men just don't do that.
How dare you? Or at least a good insight from a man's perspective. Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point. We've been talking about what men should do to tailor the conversation. I mean, what women should do maybe to talk to men. What can men do? What can men do to talk to women in their language?
Well, I think it's a very, very good idea for men to learn that language, and that it's, those, you know, really, one of the things I do when I talk to men is I say, you know, it's a lot easier if you kind of nail it down to five feelings instead of 45,000 feelings out there. You know, you're generally either you're mad, you're happy, you're sad, you're afraid, or you're guilty. One of those five. And if you think of it in those terms, I sometimes find that men can get it down to a simpler. It's not quite an art. It's more of a science for men.
What's your background, Neil? Are you a researcher, a therapist?
I'm a researcher. I come actually out of a journalistic background, and then I moved into social science research. So what I do is really, and my specialty area, what I focused on is men's lives. For the last 20 years, I've just been studying men's personal lives, trying to understand how men deal with the relationships. My previous book called Father Loss is about how men deal with the deaths of their fathers. And that one is a very much more about grief and loss and how men deal with those. And interestingly enough, there's similarities in that men don't cry as much and they don't talk as much when they grieve. They act, they do, they create, they use their father's tools. They do things that are very physical, and in that way connect themselves to the memory of their fathers at a death.
Well, for years we were a patriarchal society, and if you listen to cultural conservatives, they'll tell you that in the 60s or 70s, you know, baby boomers, everything flipped on its head. Many cultural conservatives will criticize that. Guys like David Brooks wrestle mm-hmm. with it more intellectually. But from what you've looked at, I mean, is there one huge area where there is a disconnect between the way society somehow goes along without thinking about things and the way that it could best serve either how men think or how men talk or how men are?
Yeah, I think that the society does make us men into one-dimensional creatures, and we are much more complicated than the view. If you look at, you know, television commercials, how obsessed they are with sex and cars and things, I didn't find that. Now, we don't go into, as I was saying earlier, into the feeling and emotion that well, but we all men have very complex inner lives. That I found. I've actually kept myself busy for 20 years interviewing men about their inner lives, their personal lives. but I don't think we've figured out exactly how to get to men, how to make men understood in a way. We haven't figured out the language that works, and it's kind of, you know, it makes sense. We've been focusing. I think women are more easily able to talk about their what's going on with them. We need to find the language, and that's what I try to do, is find the language that works for men, that expresses what men are actually going through, but recognize that there is, in general, a difference in what the way men experience the world and women experience the world.
You know, here's one thing it makes me think of: mass media depictions. I mean, if you depict an ethnic group in a unflattering way, I mean, and these do go on all the time, mm-hmm. at least some advocacy group will protest. If you depict women in a way, now or another advocacy group will say something. I mean, I don't know how far they're getting if you look at, you know, say, rap videos or Bud commercials, but
right.
I don't know if there probably is a man's organization, but they have the reputation of being, you know, like the guys in the woods banging drums, but there's no one really right. to say stop depicting men like that.
Yeah, there are. There's a few, but then many of them get hooked up with being kind of anti-feminist or even anti-woman.
Right.
And so it's very difficult for men in this stage of the growth of our culture. I mean, as you say, 50 years ago, father knew best. We were in charge. You know, made the decisions, especially, you know, in society, but even around the house, or thought we were making decisions.
All right, let's go to something we
sure.
really need to hear from, who is a woman. Jane, could you do it in 20 seconds?
My husband does all the laundry, most of the house cleaning. We do have a housekeeper come in once a week, and I do all the cooking, and I do it in a gourmet style that keeps him happy and well-fed, and that's balanced for us.
Well, thanks a lot for the call, Jane. Gourmet cooking, quickly, Neil?
Yeah.
Important
yeah.
or not?
Well, you know, I got very fortunate myself because I married a feminist, but she loves to cook. And so, but I definitely do the laundry. I try to keep her happy in
All
other
right.
ways.
Okay. Thanks, Neil. Neil Chethick is the author of Voicemail, What Husbands Really Think About Their Marriages, Their Wives, Housework, and Commitment. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.